Welcome to Money Making Sense, the show that talks about all things money. Today, we are talking about charity donations, and apparently they're not doing so well this year. Joining me today is Thomas Teig. He is president and CEO of Direct Relief. So welcome to the show, Thomas.
Thank you for having me, Heather. It's my pleasure.
I understand there are several factors that are contributing to people not donating as much as they have in past years for 2023. Can you tell me one of the reasons why there are decreased donations at the end of this year?
Well, I think that's the projection from this little survey that we commissioned. And I think a couple reasons. One was that people feel tapped out, you know, that there have been traditionally, the year-end giving season, a disproportionate amount of all charitable gifts were made in that last 6 weeks, you know, say from Thanksgiving to New Year's, for a number of reasons. But I think what the people who responded to the survey said is that, but I've given multiple times, there's been these big events in the world, so I think it's going to be less likely, I have less money. That combined with inflation and things getting more expensive and people feeling pinched, that came through, as well as one of the things that I guess wasn't surprising, a little sobering, that just a decreased confidence and trust in institutions generally, including nonprofit organizations, which we've, you know, it parallels what other folks have seen in much more expansive surveys about trust and confidence in public institutions, from national governments on down. And then finally, one of the other things that doesn't really relate so much to the giving or the likelihood, but it was just interesting nonetheless, that generationally people below 40 are really kind of acknowledged that they, most of the information that informs their decisions about charities and charitable giving is coming from social media and their peers. Unlike perhaps it was more traditionally, where there would be, you know, just a, either advertising was the principal driver or mail, things that were kind of the traditional means of connecting with the public, that shifted. So we're not sure what it means, but it was good to understand at least the attitudes at this moment, and many other organizations in the same boat who rely on charitable contributions. How do you speak to the times and address the issues that are kind of hiding in plain sight, including that of trust and confidence in institutions?
Before we get into the trust of institutions, because that seems to have been going on a lot longer, I want to address just 2023 specifically. Sure. For people who, every time they hear about a natural disaster, we had a couple of big hurricanes, there were some huge wildfires in other parts of the world this year, and then you've got the wars in Ukraine and now over in the Middle East. So if people are spending their money that way, are they not thinking ahead to Christmas, or that inflation has finally caught up with them and they go, uh-oh, now I don't have any more of my normal excess money at the end of the year that I could give to holiday donations?
That certainly would make sense given the, I mean, the results don't say what happened, is that there have been people reported having given already this year. And I think you're right that some of these are highly motivating, deeply emotional. They've prompted people to give. And so I don't know if they were thinking what the effects might be 6 months later, if they were making, you know, a contribution at the time. But it seems like overall that finding was that there's been more giving throughout the year, which may translate into less ability to give at the end. But it didn't really get into the why and the what fors. And didn't you consider that when you made the gift? My hunch is not. I think is, you know, there's a lot of emotion that's wrapped up in charitable giving, for the good and bad. I mean, it's great because the, you know, it speaks to people's heart, but the downside is that it lends itself to exploitation, right? Because it's emotional. And I think that may be why people have tried to exploit events or something like that. And maybe that's one of the reasons that the public is feeling a little bit more jaded, at least in the thing, which is understandable.
Yeah, I think that goes back to this thing where over the last 20 years, you've seen a marked decline from people who used to give and aren't anymore. I think the numbers, if I remember correctly, it was like 20 million households in the U.S. has stopped giving outright, not even just for the holidays. They're just like, nah, I'm not going to give anymore. Because a lot of these organizations, not the legit ones, but people going, oh, there's this war happening in the Middle East. You need to give us money. Well, that's a scam. That's just somebody wanting to get your money, and that money doesn't actually go anywhere else.
Right. No, I think that does have a corrosive effect on just reputation. You know, one bad actor can really taint a whole sector, which is the third largest sector in the United States. It's nonprofits broadly, right? And so I don't think it's, I think what you said is very true, that some of these things that are properly called out and exposed, which is important, also has the cumulative effect of that is that people think, oh God, how do I trust anything anymore? You know, and which I understand. So I think that's the moment we're in. And I think for Direct Relief and many other groups, what do? You try to take it head on and you try to disclose more financial information. You give more detail than is the minimum requirement under IRS rules, because people want to know and they deserve to know. It's a public institution, and like government, you know, everyone pays for that and they have to disclose everything. Nonprofits are private, but they perform a public benefit service. And so I think it's, you know, the disclosure, and I think we'll continue to get more significant, in part because it has to reestablish confidence, that without which it's not going to work, right? So I think that's at least our take on it. But, you know, it's just one out of 1.5 million charitable organizations in the United States. But we do our best to kind of stay in sync with the public. And you can't just keep doing what's always worked and expect the same results, because society's changed, information flow has changed, expectations have changed, and but the basic root reason nonprofits exist has not changed. There's still people who need help. There's a lot of things that aren't inherently profitable from a business perspective, but are really important from a human perspective, from taking care of animals to having people being fed if they're hungry, and as well as all the arts and sciences and after-school sports and everything under the sun. There's a lot of things people care about that wouldn't necessarily be a profitable business, but speaks to people's hearts and are important to do. And that's the wonderful tradition of philanthropy in the United States. And we certainly at Direct Relief have seen that every day, those expressions of kind of unbelievable generosity. You never expect it,
right?
But you just filled with gratitude when people do something they do not have to do in a time when there's all sorts of stuff they could do with their money for their own self and their family. So yeah.
If someone has given all the money they can for this year in other causes, especially during the holidays, colder weather, people can't afford to pay for heating sometimes. If they don't have money to give, is there something else people can do to help with Direct Relief or any other type of charity organization?
Yeah, there are a number of things. And I think one of the things that, even from the survey that we did, which was that because people look to, at least younger people look to their peers and through social media for validation, if people aren't in a position financially to contribute, they shouldn't be riddled with guilt or feel bad about it, because they can still contribute what their views. And particularly, that's what people are looking for, the trusted validation of a cause or an organization that people care about. So I think, for example, if a person was intimately familiar with and had worked or volunteered at a place, a nonprofit organization that's not high profile, they don't have money, but they could make that known. Any organization in the U.S. would love to have a cheerleader, a well-informed cheerleader who can share information about that cause or organization with other people that they probably aren't going to reach otherwise. So I think that finding of that, particularly generationally, younger people are looking to each other as a source of information, you have that voice and that ability to influence and share what you know and care about. And I think that's very powerful. We love it when people our cheerleaders for directly. Sometimes they don't ask, we don't know, or they'll set us up, and that's really powerful and wonderfully genuine. It's not manufactured, and I think people can detect that. And so that's what I think, the time, the effort, the interest, it's definitely worth something. Money is not the measure of everything, although it tends to be for many things.
I would say, not just being a cheerleader, but if you can volunteer your time as well. Absolutely. To some of these places, that's a good way to start. But if people have more interest in finding out what Direct Relief does and where you go to help people, where can people go to find more information?
Well, directrelief.org is our website, and it has 75 years of history and probably more information than any reasonable person may want. But I would also just suggest that in terms of a sequence of people making decisions, first find something that you care about, and that's entirely your choice. And it doesn't matter what it is. That's for you to decide. If you find a cause that you care about, then you can take the second step of going to an independent charity like watchdog organization, like charitynavigator.org or Charity Watch. And their job is to provide an independent basis for consumers. So if you care about animals or environment or feeding programs, that's great. They will help you find which organizations are, how they're using their money. And they provide a grade or a score on things like efficiency and transparency and governance and impact. And I think that's really an important thing for people who are thinking about making a charitable contribution. No one should tell you what you care about. That's your call. But when you do know what you care about, engage your head too and try to make sure that you find a group that's going to make you proud of how your money's ultimately spent. And that's what these nonprofit rating agencies do. And they're totally independent. Okay. And I think that's just helpful consumer advice.
So what I learned is, if you don't have enough money to contribute at the end of this year to an organization that you care about, volunteer your time or be a cheerleader for them, and also go to something like charitynavigator.org to make sure, if you are giving money, that the organization you're giving to is actually legit or can figure out where all that money goes.
Well, you said it better and shorter than I did, so thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Sure, no problem. Well, thank you so much, Thomas Tighe. You are the president and CEO of Direct Relief, and people can go to directrelief.org to get more information about you.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Appreciate you for having me on.
Thanks for listening. You can email me with any questions or topics you want to hear about at hkelly@ksl.com. That's hkelly@ksl.com. And because this is Money Making Sense, you can subscribe for free on Spotify, Overcast, Apple Podcasts, anywhere you listen to your favorite podcast, and you'll never miss another episode.
Thanks for being a Money Making Sense listener. Follow your common sense on the social media, Money Making Sense, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.